Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Molly Green and
Darren Rudge.
Alan, it's Molly and Darren.
Hello, Molly and Darren.
Hello, how are you? Recognize us?
I do.
Yeah, sure you do.
The Happy Garden.
If winter comes, can spring be far behind? Welcome to another Happy Garden podcast. My name is Molly, and I shall be guiding you through the next hour or so of horticulture and humour. As the days get longer and, dare I say it, on the odd occasion, warmer, we had 17 degrees last week, mid-February, the garden becomes a hive of activity. So much to be doing, so much to be planning, and as we speak, I've just put all the bedding on the line. It is a lovely, lovely day. Now, one man who is as busy as two bees this time of year, brackets, but not with bedding or laundry, it's your expert, the laughing gardener, Darren Rudge.
Hello.
I think that deserves a round of applause.
Thank you. How do you know I don't do the bedding?
I was going to say, have you just come in from hanging out the sheets, Darren?
No.
No.
Been doing something very boring this morning.
You can't say that.
It was exciting but boring.
I don't think you can't say that. Darren's been doing some official work today. What if any of your bosses hear this podcast? Silence. No, in all seriousness, though, you've been doing educational stuff today, learning stuff today.
Yeah. Zoom meetings. Okay. I'm just leaving it
official
there.
Zoom meetings.
Official Zoom.
Right, well, on to our podcast today. You're going to be doing the usual bits and bobs.
I am. I've got jobs for the week ahead. And I've got a fantastic money-saving tip. Once again, a natural money-saving tip. Nature gives us some wonderful things. And here's a money-saving tip that I'm going to give you that nature already gives us.
Nice.
So there you go. And I tell you what, my jokes this week.
You even texted me a couple of days ago to say that we're going to be blown away.
You'll be blown off. Your socks will come off, Molly, today.
I said to you, is it as good as the potato chitting joke? And you said it supersedes it, so.
I think so, yeah.
All right.
I think.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll see. Let us be the judge of that. And also we'll be hearing from George Plumtree from the National Garden Scheme about how the NGS did last year.
It's a good name for NGS director, isn't it? Plumtree,
yeah, yeah. What else could he be called?
It's like people at the RHS, new directors at the RHS. Mr. Weed?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, you have a look online.
Mr. Weed.
Mr. Weed. And there is another, the educational director is Suzanne Moss.
Oh, Ovs. Yeah, love that. Love
that.
So,
there you go.
Brilliant. Love that very much. Oh, and also, Darren, a little bit later on, we're going to be hearing finally from Caleb from Clarkson's Farm about archaeology that they've found on the Diddley Squat farm. We've bumped Caleb down a couple of times, but we'll definitely play him today. We'll also be hearing from Andy Lound as well. He's got horticultural history today. It is the history of rockeries today.
Ooh!
Yes, and lots of questions for you, our Dazzler, including one on badgers. And I might slip in Monty Don's take on badgers. It's only like a little bit of, you know, a little bit of audio. I sat down with him, didn't I, a year or two back and asked him loads of questions. So I might just play his answer on what to do if you've got badgers, because we've got a question about that a little bit later on.
OK.
All right.
Yes, lovely.
So...
all of this and more still to come on...
The Happy Garden.
With Mark Green and Darren Rush.
Shall we, my lovely Darren, start with a few jobs for the week ahead?
Yes.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. 3, 2, 1. Go, Darren!
Well, it gets a bit breezy around this time of year, so just check that young trees are securely tied against those early spring gales so they don't get rocked in the ground and suffer from wind rock. I'm always talking about wind rock, aren't I, Molly? But this can tear root systems and can eventually kill your trees. Bush roses... normally show a little bit of growth at this time of year, as well as repeat flowering roses and climbers. So, should be pruned, you naughty people. If you haven't done them already, they need to be pruned within the next 2 weeks, if you haven't already done so. Roses that can also be planted at this time of year, as well as most deciduous plants and evergreens. Really good time, as long as it's not too wet. If it's too wet, just delay. Just keep them out of the ground in a pot and then actually plant when it's dry. Perennial flowers are showing signs of growth as well. In this case, just lift them up. You can divide them, disregard the centre and replant the outer shoots.
Now, Darren, Caroline Quentin is on the show next week.
Hello, I'm yes. Caroline Quentin, and you are listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. Hooray!
Hooray!
She, wonderful.
Oh, my God, she is so, so nice. She's got a new book out. It's called Drawn to the Garden. And she is so, so, so lovely. So she's on the pod next week. Yay.
Did you interview her after your hangover? Wasn't that the afternoon of your hangover?
Yes, thank you for remembering that.
To yep. the Chinese
No, I wasn't hungover. No, I wasn't hungover. Or was I? Hang on, let me think.
Oh.
No, I...
You were.
Oh, no, I was. Oh, no, I can't lie. Yes, I was. Oh, yes, because my voice had gone and I had a thick head and told you to keep it down, didn't I? Yeah, that was. Yeah. Was that last week?
That was last
it was,
week,
wasn't yeah. it? Kung Hei Fat Choy. But I think I made a fist of it. It's, well, we'll see next week when I play the interview. Darren, would you like to do some money-saving tips?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and we're going to hear from Caleb off of Clarkson's farm next after we've had one of your amazing money-saving tips, our Dazzler.
Now, live on the Happy Garden Podcast, it's time for
Darren's money-saving tips.
Go, Darren, go.
Well... you may be thinking about starting to take cuttings from that early flush of green growth from your plants, folks. But forget chemical-based rooting hormone compounds and use, yes, prick your ears up, liquid honey. So don't use rooting hormone. First of all, it's mainly token powder. Secondly, rooting hormone that you buy from your nursery or your garden centre has a shelf life of 6 months. How many people have had a pot of that for more than 20 years in their garden shed? Use liquid honey. It's naturally antibacterial, it's naturally antifungal and contains all the hormones you need to root your cuttings, folks. Just dip the end of the cutting in the liquid honey and insert into some cutting compost, into a pot of compost, and pop on a sunny windowsill. And you'll be surprised with the results. Nature gives us some wonderful alternatives, doesn't it, folks? So use them. Forget about rooting hormone and those gels. Use liquid honey instead. How about that, Molly? Liquid honey.
Well, yes.
Darren's money-saving tips.
Hello, I'm Caleb, and you are listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. Thank you.
Now, we had Dr. Alice Roberts on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about archaeology found in UK gardens. And I had a chat with Caleb from Clarkson's Farm and asked about the archaeology that has come up with the plough on Diddley Squat Farm, of course, owned by Jeremy Clarkson. Caleb, on the show last week, Dr. Alice Roberts was with us talking about back garden archaeology and stuff that's been found in agriculture as well. Anything interesting ever come up on the farm with you?
What, when we're ploughing?
Yeah, and just anything of, I don't know, any historical significance.
Yeah, we've had like old, I've ploughed up an old, you know, like back in like World War One when they used to have the horse like collars basically to pull like tanks and stuff like that and pull like armoured vehicles and all this. I found an armoured, basically, it was like a horse collar, if that makes sense.
Like a yoke
type thing. Yeah, harness. I found one of them. They dated back to, like, World War One. I used to work on a farm. And they found some coins. And as I discovered these coins, they found a skeleton. So the king's day, a lot of, back in the day, going way back, they used to bury like the rich up there, if that makes sense. It was like a ceremony to plant the rich up there. And they took the skeleton out. Around the skeleton was all the jewellery to show that she was from wealth. And they found out that she was a girl and she must have died of a brain tumour or something because there was a crack on her skull. They reckon she was 16 years old.
Did you see that? Did you see the site?
Yeah. Saw it. We had to come out, yeah.
I bet that was absolutely amazing.
It was interesting to hear about all the traditions that they do, you know, in terms of certain ways they plant I'm such a farm, aren't I? Certain way they place the jewellery around and place the body for the sun. It was quite interesting.
When I saw the end episode of the latest Clarkson's Farm, you know when he took you up in a helicopter for your surprise, which was just amazing. However, when I watched that scene, I was looking for crop marks in your, you know, in the farm, in the land, thinking, I wonder if there's, you know, a roundhouse there or strip fields there, or, you know, I was having a look for archaeology when you're in that helicopter.
Well, there's normally like, they get like circles of like mushrooms and stuff like that, which is quite cool. And like crop circles, which are really cool as well. There's all of a sudden a circle of green grass will come up in a weird field. It's quite cool. But why does it do it? I don't know. It's weird.
Caleb there from Clarkson's Farm. How sweet is he? And, oh, he mentions about planting people when they die. I mean, that's really sweet, isn't it?
He's a lovely bloke, isn't he?
He is.
He really is a nice bloke.
He is.
Planting people. It's a good idea, isn't it?
Which reminds me, I have finally secured a date to interview the lady who composts people over in America. When you die, you can be composted and the soil given back to your family.
See now, I don't mind that.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? You've said before.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Being composted.
You know, at least you've got some use, haven't you?
Your friends and family.
Rather than being... be saying, in a wooden box. Yeah, and...
When's the funeral? There isn't one. We're composting him.
That's all right.
It is all right.
I think so, anyway. I think people get very, worked up about death, don't they?
Mm.
But it's part of life, isn't it?
It is, of course, yeah. In nature, things go back to the soil. They go back to being soil. So, yeah. It's an interesting one we'll be covering on the pod in weeks to come. Now, Dazzler...
Hello.
You sent me the sweetest thing in the week that really, really brightened my day. And it came really? Completely out of the blue.
Oh, right. What was that then? Oh, what could that be?
I tell you what, Moles, it's absolutely stunning morning for a stroll. Absolutely gorgeous. You hear the birds? I mean, you can hear the M6 in the background, but I love this time of year, you know, Chuck, because everything is so happy to be alive. It's absolutely gorgeous, including Bear. Say hello to Molly Bear, speak. He's not going to do it, he's concentrating on sniffing. That's a little robin. Absolutely superb. Makes you full of the joys of life, doesn't it? Have a nice day, Chuck. All right. Okay, speak to you soon. Love you lots. Bye.
Oh, Darren. That absolutely made my day before it even started. I think I was still in bed when I listened to that. But that I got out of bed with a spring in my step because that was so nice of you.
Well, I was walking along a canal side with the dog, obviously Bear. I just thought I'd send you a voice note, really, because it was overpowering. The twittering of the birds was overpowering. It was wonderful. And it did. It really warmed my heart. And I thought, I've got to share this with Molly.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. It's the time of year, isn't it? The birds are singing so loudly. And it does your heart good.
I seemed so happy to be alive. Yeah. I really, really did. Yeah. So,
I loved
it. Brilliant.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you, Darren. It was just lovely. Now, we're going to be hearing from the amazing and astounding Andy Lound next. He's exploring the history of rockeries. However, Darren, shall I give you a question? We've had a few in this week.
Yeah, go on then. Let's see what you've got. What you got for me this week?
Well, we'll start with Beth. It says, Molly, Darren, firstly, I hope Darren's eye is on the mend. Oh, and actually, brackets, I've put down here, Deb has also been inquiring about your eye on the email as well. She had a retinal detachment too, so she was checking up on you in the week. Beth says, I need some advice on houseplants. I don't have a garden. Or indeed any outdoor space. But having listened to the Happy Garden podcast and to your show for many years, I'm going to get some indoor plants. My flat doesn't get a great deal of light. Does that matter? And which plants shall I start with? I need them to be simple to care for. I'm quite excited about getting into plants, but I just need advice as to where to start. Thank you both. And that is from Beth.
Oh, Beth, thank you ever so much. The eye, let's start with that, first of all. The eye is fine. It's getting better every day. The pain is starting to subside.
Oh, good.
And I've got drops now. I have to put drops in 3 times a day. So,
do you get on all right with that? I can't do it. I just shut my eye when they're coming.
Well, this particular eye drops that I use has got a pump action, Molly.
What?
So it's got a pump action on it.
Pump action eye drop. How does that work?
Like a shotgun. Oh. Well, it literally is like a shotgun.
What?
You put the tip next to your eye and then you push down and it fires liquid into your eye.
God, but don't you just shut your eye when you know it's coming? I would.
Nah. Just stare at it. You have to stare it out.
Look it straight in the eye and pump it.
And go, and that's it. Well Job done. 3 times a day. So I actually find it easier to use than to you.
Who's that?
Hello, Mrs. Darren.
Hello.
Oh, are you having...
just going it down to be in them because the drawer's collapsed under the sink.
Okay, all right then.
Wait a second.
Hold on. Molly says
the drawer's collapsed under the sink, so Mrs. Darren's going to fix it while you're lying on the bed.
Yeah. Mm. So, but she's going to fix it with a new hammer drill. She got for Christmas.
I was going to ask you, you know, at the end of your stroll audio, you know, you said you loved me.
Yeah.
Does that mean I get a set of saucepans?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Then I'll get coffee then.
Good for her. Do I get coffee before you go down to B&Q and fix the kitchen sink? Unbelievable, Darren. So lucky to be married.
So back to the question then. Sorry for that, Beth. It was a very rude interruption, wasn't it? starting with houseplants. Doesn't matter if you got very much light because houseplants mainly are tropical. So they live in darker conditions and it's generally warmer. So that's why the houseplants are like to be inside. Now, if you want to start with things you absolutely cannot kill, try Aspidestra. It's called the iron plant, typical Victorian plant, leafy plant, that you can grow in next to nothing, no daylight at all. And they're really renowned for old Victorian houses where they used to sit in hallways with virtually no light. So there's the first one to try. Then you can move on to things like rubber plants, you know, Ficus elastica. How about a weeping fig? It's almost a tree. So if you want something to make a statement in your living room, a weeping fig, Ficus benjamina, is wonderful. And you can get them braided sometimes. So they're almost the stems, when they're young, they're actually woven into a braid. And they look really, really really, really exotic in your living room. You can grow bananas, you can have cannas, you can have all these sort of things going on in your living room. And you don't need much light at all to actually grow these things. So don't think just because you've got a dark flat, an apartment or a place where there's not much light that you can't grow plants. You only need a little bit and you'll absolutely astound yourself. Now, the big thing to bear in mind is not to overwater these things. I call it my rule of thumb. So if you pop your thumb on the compost and it's damp, then it's watered enough. If you can lift the pot up, if it feels heavy in your hand, again, it's watered enough. And for most houseplants, it's good enough to put a saucer underneath, put some horticultural grit in there and water from the base. Only water from above if they absolutely need a good drenching. And that's about it, really. Just go out there and indulge your new passion. And any plants that you actually pick up and you wonder, what on earth am I dealing with here? The thing to do is to get in touch with the Happy Garden
Compost.
Compost, I was going to say. Podcast. Okay.
Oh, there's a new sideline. Happy Garden Compost.
Happy Garden Compost. How about that? Yeah.
Merch. Like it.
But get in touch with us. So if you do buy these plants and you're wondering, what on earth do I do with this? Just get in touch and I'll let you know. Oh, cool. I'll tell you what to do.
What about where Beth gets them from? I was at, where did we go? Gosh, we've gone to so many garden centres lately. Knockuts in Shirley. Huge variety, but wow, huge price tag. Whereas there's places like Morrison's where you can get them for like a pound or two, but they're weeny, and obviously you need to grow them on a lot. What would you say about where to purchase Adas?
So, as we're not on the BBC anymore, do you know who we were?
Wait.
Molly and Darren!
Do you know who we were? Go.
We can start to recommend places, can't we?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we mentioned Morrison's. Morrison's, do you know something? If I'm struggling on a landscape job to buy climbers in particular, I go to Morrison's.
They're good, aren't they? They are.
They really, really are good, you know. But one place that I particularly enjoy buying houseplants from is IKEA. So if you get yourself down to, they are big and they are really well priced. They're really decent stock and they're really well priced. And the thing about IKEA is the people that look after the plants in IKEA are trained. So they're trained horticulturalists. It's not like your B&Q and, you know, your... they're just giving somebody the job that they didn't really want. Okay, you can look after the plants. In IKEA, they are a trained person. They're a trained professional looking after the plants. And they are gorgeous, Molly. Absolutely stunning plants from IKEA that I've bought for £5, you know, maximum sort of 10 or 12 pounds.
And big ones.
For a really decent-sized plant, yeah.
Cool. So,
there you go. That's my recommendation for the week.
Have you? You've still got one. Is it Wensbury?
Yes.
They've shut the one in Coventry.
Have they?
Yeah.
No, really?
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
So, but Wensbury, what's that, Junction 9?
Junction 9, yeah. Or you can get off at Junction 10, but you have to come back on yourself.
Okay. Or, well, you might live somewhere else in the world, in which case you won't know what we're talking about. We've had loads of new listeners, actually, Darren.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where from?
Well, we seem to be quite big this week in Rotterdam, Puttershock, and The Hague.
What?
Mm.
Where's Puttershock?
Netherlands.
Oh. Puttershock.
Puttershock.
Puttershock in it.
Oh, God. That's good, Darren. I'm quite pleased with you on that one. Puttershock.
Puttershock. I've never heard of Puttershock.
No, normally. Well, we have now. Boardman in the United States of America. Popular in Boardman.
Right.
Hello to you if you're there. Mm. And Seattle as well. Lots of listeners in Seattle. No, we've done well. We've expanded this week internationally. So hello to you. Do drop us an email, by the way. I'll just shut that down. Do drop us an email if you are listening elsewhere in the world other than the UK. We'd love to hear from you. TheHappyGardenPodcast@gmail.com. Let us know who you are, where you are, and Yeah, and how you are, that would be smashing.
If you'd like to get in touch with Molly Green and Darren Rudge at the Happy Garden Podcast, then all you have to do is follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to send them an email at the Happy Garden Podcast, you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Did you see I put a post on the Happy Garden Podcast about my walk?
Oh no!
Did you not see that?
No. Now you've got rights. I've withdrawn a bit. Let me have a look. I've got my iPad here. Now you're taking a bit of responsibility for the social media. I don't like social media particularly. Oh yes, morning folks. Hope you're in. Oh, here's my latest one with Bear Springs on the way. Oh, what a lovely picture. When did you do that? A couple of days ago.
About 5 days ago.
There's me keeping up with all the social meds. I didn't
lovely,
see.
Isn't it?
Yes.
It's a lovely dog.
Oh,
I put gorgeous. All the flowers, all the flowers that I saw along my journey.
Oh, yes.
5 miles we walked that day.
13 photos. Look at that. That's nice.
And you didn't even look.
Didn't even notice. Anyway, look, now, look, we've completely got sidetracked. No, I'm sorry. We got all sidetracked there by shove a sock in it. Oh, I don't know where we went then. Have we finished with...
Beth's done yet.
Are we done with Beth? Okay.
We're done with Beth.
Beth, thank you very, very much for your question.
All over the place today.
It's all over the shop. If you want to ask a question, it is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Right, Adaz, shall we get Andy Lound on? Shall we amaze and astound with Andy Lound?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's... yeah. Today, it is the history of rockeries.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Good morning, Molly and Darren. Today, let's explore the enchanting world of garden rockeries, a harmonious blend of nature's rugged beauty and human creativity. These unique landscapes, often overlooked, have a rich history and offer a captivating canvas for garden enthusiasts. A garden rockery is not just a collection of rocks, it is a carefully crafted composition that mimics the beauty and complexity of natural rock formations. Skilled gardeners artfully arrange rocks of different shapes and sizes to create a visually striking and harmonious scene, blending the raw essence of nature with the human touch. The selection of rocks is a crucial aspect of designing a rockery. Gardeners consider factors such as colour, texture, and geological characteristics. Rocks with interesting features like veins, crevices, or unique shapes add depth and intrigue to the rockery. Local rocks are often chosen to harmonise with the surrounding environment. One of the charming aspects of rockeries is the opportunity to incorporate a variety of plants into the crevices and spaces between the rocks. These plants, often succulents, alpines or other rock-loving species, mimic the natural flora that thrives in rocky landscapes. The result is a garden that seamlessly integrates rock and plant life. Throughout history, rockeries have held symbolic significance in various cultures. In Chinese and Japanese gardens, rockeries symbolise mountains and are believed to bring good fortune. In European traditions, rock gardens gained popularity during the Victorian era, reflecting a fascination with naturalistic landscapes. Aside from their aesthetic appeal, rockeries offer practical benefits to gardeners. The rocks provide a thermal mass, absorbing heat during the day and radiating it at night, creating a microclimate that supports the growth of certain plants. Additionally, rockeries can serve as effective erosion control measures on sloped terrain. Rockeries also attract and provide habitats for various forms of wildlife, insects, small mammals, and even birds may find shelter among the rocks and plants. A well-designed rockery contributes to the biodiversity of the garden, creating a miniature ecosystem within the larger landscape. Garden rockeries are more than just decorative features, they are living sculptures that celebrate the intricate dance between geology and botany. I created a rockery using rocks that contain fossils, had ferns and some small water feature. I had help from a gardener, though, called Terry Dactyl. Cue wind and tolling bell. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Thank you. round. Marvellous. Thank you, Andy. Love hearing.
Well done, Andy.
I've got a list, actually, of bits and bobs that he's done. Here we are. Here's my Andy Lound book that I've got here to my right. History of flower shows on the way.
Oh, wow.
Sheds.
Yeah.
Allotments.
Yeah.
Manure.
The history of manure.
Yes, that's quite a good one. No, you're going to like it.
I bet that'll be...
Oh, Darren! Very pleased with you on that one.
I'm building me up for my jokes, I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
History of tulips, rhubarb, greenhouses, apples. My favourite, though, because I edited it the other day, is the history of your bush. Now... Now, he really struggled with that one. That took some editing, let me tell you. So, yeah. And I think today he's composing the history of gnomes for us for International Gnome Day in a couple of months. So lots to look forward to. If you want to find out more about Andy, go to andrewlound.com. Or indeed, of course, if you want any horticultural histories, get in touch with us and we'll ask Andy to do you one. Stay exactly where you are. We'll be back in two ticks. We're just going to have some adverts. And then we'll be back with more of your gardening questions for Darren. Also hearing from Monty Don on how to deal with badgers as well, digging up your lawn. Hang fire.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay. Good. That's sheet two done.
How many we got to get through?
Oh, I forgot to send you the sheets. Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
You're doing you're doing quite well, actually, seeing as I didn't send you anything this week. Didn't send you any sheets. Okay.
One sheet.
What?
One sheet.
One sheet?
One sheet. I met him, you know, at the NEC.
Who?
One of the garden sheds. One sheet.
What? What are you talking about, Willis?
You know the man who did the advert? Do you know the man who did the advert? One sheet.
No.
Do you know?
What? Have you gone mad? What? What? One sheet of what?
One sheet of...
Of what? Oh, not the Spanish-looking man.
Yeah.
And it was kitchen roll, very strong kitchen roll.
That's it, yeah, one
no
sheet.
No way, the one sheet man.
Yeah.
Thank God I have my iPad with me when we do the Happy Garden podcast. One sheet
his
man.
His trousers were really tight. They were really, really tight.
One sheet man. Well, there he is. Oh, his name is Juan Sheet. As in J-U-A-N, Juan Sheet. One sheet clean. One sheet cleans it all. It was for plenty.
That's it, yeah.
Plenty kitchen roll.
One sheet.
One sheet.
One sheet.
What was he doing at? What was it? Gardener's World.
Yeah, he was at Gardener's World.
Why?
And the women were flocking to him, Molly.
Let's have a look.
Why? Because he was selling plenty blooming whatever it is.
Kitchen roll. They had him on the kitchen roll stand. He's quite handsome.
They did, yeah.
Let's have a look. Well.
Anyways.
Go on.
He got a pert bottom.
How do you know? There we go, one sheet. Well, how did we get onto one sheet?
Because we were...
What?
Oh, God.
What? I
we were talking
lost
about
my...
how many sheets.
Oh, yes.
We were talking about how many sheets we got left.
Right.
And you said two, and I said, not one sheet.
Oh, gosh. Talk about round the houses. Okay, right. We're on sheet three now. I don't think there's anyone called Three Sheets, is there? We're on sheet three now.
to the wind.
Oh, dear. And what's going on today? Are you ready for another question, Erdaz?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All questions welcome.
Bring it back.
Bring it back down. The Happy Garden Podcast at gmail.com. So this is from Margaret for you, Darren. She says, hi, both. I saw Molly's picture on Facebook of her... Oh, this is the badger. I saw Molly's picture on the Facebook page of her lawn, which had been dug up. I have exactly the same problem at home. My question, Darren, is not how to deter badgers, because they are only doing what they do naturally. But I'm not sure how to go about repairing the patch that they have now been digging in. Should I do it now or should I wait for warmer weather? Loving the podcast. Thank you for the laughs. You cheer me up every week. Oh, listen to this. I have a date with you every Friday morning at 11 with a cup of tea and a slice of cake. All the best, Margaret. What a lovely... Lovely email. But yeah, her lawn is looking a little bit like mine. What to do?
Well, Margaret, badgers are coming in for the food, as you rightfully said. If you maintain your lawn a little better, it stops the food from being there. So what they're looking for at this time of year are chafer grubs, these big, fat, witchetty grubs that look like little aliens when you dig them up. They've got like six pairs of little legs right at the very front and a big brown nose. And that's what the badgers are coming in for. Now, it's entirely the right time of year for you to do this. But if you aerate and scarify on a regular basis... what chafer grubs don't like is disturbance. So if you aerate and scarify on a regular basis, you'll not only improve your soil underneath your turf, you'll get rid of those chafer grubs. And that will deter the badgers from actually coming in. Now, with regards to when to do it right now. It's not a problem. It's really mild in this country at the moment, folks. So I'm sitting here and it's probably 12 or 13 degrees outside, which is really, really mild for the middle of February. So get out there, get your springbok rake out and start raking through, and then get your fork and aerate down to around about 3/4 of the way down your actual fork. And that will deter chafer grubs and will stop the badgers from actually coming in. Now, if they've really torn into your turf, you'll need to put some compost down where the hole is and actually reseed over the top. Now, when you're reseeding, Margaret, add a little bit extra for the birds so they can come in and have a peck, OK? But do it right now. It'll be fine. And you won't have to water it in because, remember, there's a little bit of rain around here, there and everywhere, isn't there, right at this particular point in time. And that's what to do with your lawn. Hope that helps you.
Great. Thank you very much, Margaret, and thank you very much, Darren. Well, I asked Monty about badgers and sort of how to deter them from your garden. This is what he said.
Badgers. Do you ever get badgers digging up the lawn?
Yeah,
we have that a lot.
Badgers dig up the lawn. We've had a badger get in the hen house too.
Oh no, did it have them?
Yeah, it caused damage. But what badgers do is they're after earthworms, and they go along making all this terrible damage as they can rip along. Luckily, we only had that for 1 year, and then we haven't had badgers since. But you know, if you go out at night and see badgers, how wonderful is that?
It's a privilege to see them alive, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the final thing is always see the bigger picture. Stop just thinking about your individual plants and that individual animal. What is predating on those moles or those rabbits? If by having rabbits, are there more buzzards? You know, or if you have ants, I mean, I know this, for example, near where I live, there's a wonderful field full of knobbly anthills. Those are red ants, and they are the primary food for the green woodpecker.
Of course.
If you want green woodpeckers, you've got to have ants.
We're just part of a chain, aren't we?
Yeah.
It is true, isn't it, Darren? You do have to share and share alike, really, with your garden space.
Yeah, what we've come to realise, Molly, and we have to, is that we're just all part of an ecosystem. We're one part of that ecosystem, aren't we? And what we've tried to do is we've tried to dominate that ecosystem, and we can not do that anymore. And we just have to respect the things that are around us and share the planet with us. And that's all there is to it, folks. That's what you've got to do. You might not like a buzzy bumblebee buzzing around you, but, you know, where would we be without the buzzy bumblebee? No beans, no peas, no fruit,
anything.
No anything.
Yeah, we need the bees.
Exactly.
Which reminds me, Darren, actually, just before about an hour before you and I joined to do the podcast, Bombus bombus, the most beautiful bumblebee. I nearly stepped on it. Thank goodness I looked. I know. Thank goodness I looked down just before I did step forward, because my foot would have gone on it. Huge thing. Literally just waking up, I guess. It was sort of stumbling around, wasn't flying. I gave it a bit of sugar water, but it wasn't interested. So I did put it in the greenhouse with the doors open. But the garden is awakening. The insects are awakening. And it was just lovely to see such a beautiful. And it looked like a really healthy bee. I couldn't see any mites or anything on it. A really healthy bee, which filled me with joy.
Yeah. And as you say, as I call it, things are kicking off, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that are actually activating. And I saw bees the other day. Nice. It was a really mild day, 16 degrees the other day, you know.
I know.
And absolutely gorgeous plant with bees just wandering around it, trying to get pollen from the flowers. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things to see.
Exciting time of year.
Makes you feel glad to be alive. Yeah,
it does. It does. It's lovely. It's lovely. Now, we're going to be hearing from George Plumtree next about how NGS did last year. Darren, I don't know if you saw this. I did want to mention some horticultural news that I saw this week about bioluminescent houseplants. Are you aware of these?
No, go on then.
Well, it's a shame because they're not going to be available in the UK. They're about to go on sale in America. Biotechnology firm Light Bio, it's in Idaho, going to start shipping batches of 50,000 firefly petunias in April. Now, the firefly petunia glows brightly. It doesn't need special food thanks to a group of genes inserted into the plant from the bioluminescent mushroom. We were talking mushrooms the other day, weren't we? Neonothopanus nambi. Does that ring a bell?
Well done. Well done.
Well, unlike fluorescence, which requires special light bulbs, this petunia's bioluminescence happens without the need of any type of special light or special food. And it glows like the moon, apparently. It gives enough light for you to go to the toilet at night. I think sounds absolutely brilliant. It's been approved by the US Department of Agriculture. It was in September, just gone. And shipments are $29. Shipments are beginning in about 6 weeks' time for prospective clients. Glow-in-the-dark plants.
Wow, that sounds brilliant. That sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
I didn't realise they'd been working on it for so long. Keith Wood, it says here, chief exec and co-founder of Light Bio, has been working on the bioluminescent plant, which emits light through chemical reactions inside the cells, since the 1980s.
It'd be all right, wouldn't it? Instead of, you know, when you go to the loo in the middle of the night. Yeah. Take your plant with you like a candle.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was really smashing.
Wee Willy Winky.
With your petunia. Like it. Let's hear from George Plumtree, CEO of the National Garden Scheme. Now, we've already heard from George on the Happy Garden podcast about forthcoming plans this year, but I also did ask him how last year was for the charity.
The most important thing, in a way, for us in 2023 is that our amazing gardens managed to reach a little milestone that we're looking at. Mm. From a sort of closing distance for a few years, which is that they raised a total of £4 million for the first time ever.
Wow, George.
We've been nudging up towards it since about 2018. Then obviously there was a bit of a setback in 20 and 21. And finally in 2023, it was because we see, Helena, my finance manager, and me, we see the money coming in from the counties, from gardens and counties on a weekly basis on a Friday morning, a bit like seeing the weekly sales figures. Mm. And it got very exciting as we were counting down towards the 4 million, and we passed it in about the last week in November.
How did that feel?
And we ended up, oh, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's not a huge amount more than we raised in 2022, probably. I mean, we did have a good year, but it was probably 300,000 more. But the fact is, you know, we've now passed that milestone. Of course, you know, when we get to talking about looking ahead to 2024, of course, the pressure is now on that I need to make sure that we stay there.
Yeah, bigger and better.
But it was a brilliant effort by everybody, and garden owners were really thrilled, and it enabled us. We were able to give away record amounts to our beneficiaries. So we actually ended up giving away just over 3.4 million at the end of the year.
Gosh. Gosh.
Which again was a record sum.
George, I must ask, who decides or how do you decide which charities you're going to support annually, and who's going to be the beneficiaries?
To be honest, Molly, most of it is fairly fixed, because people should always remember that we were founded. We are effectively a nursing charity. It sounds an odd thing to say. We were founded and we were part of the Queen's Nursing Institute from 1927 until 1980. And we were founded to raise money to support district nurses. And it's just that opening gardens has turned out to be a very effective way of raising money. And that's all what we've always done. When we became an independent charity in 1980, we expanded the portfolio of people we gave money to, but keeping it in it, certainly in those early decades, to a group of nursing and health charities. Right. So what we have today is a group of six main beneficiaries, I'm sure all of whom most people will have heard of. So as well as the Queen's Nursing Institute, which still does great support work and management and training for district nurses. So it's Macmillan Cancer Support, Mary Hospice UK, Carers Trust, and Parkinson's UK. There are six main, they're long-term. We're committed to supporting all six of them on a long-term basis. Yeah. So obviously, to give you an example of how long we've been doing it, obviously the Queen's Nursing Institute, since we were founded nearly 100 years ago. This year, 2024, we will celebrate 40 years of continuous support for Macmillan. A few years ago, we reached 25 years of supporting Hospice UK, Marie Curie and Carers Trust. So these are long-term partnerships. Now, in addition to that, we give out other grants under what we call our Gardens and Health Programme. And that is funding gardens which have got a very definite health benefit. So in this area, we have two long-term commitments, one to Horatio's Garden, which builds gardens in hospitals in spinal units, and the one in your area would be the one in Oswestry, mm-hmm. which is sort of on the Wales-Shropshire border, and then there's another one at Cardiff, and we fund gardens for Maggie's centres, you know, where people go when they've been diagnosed with cancer for a bit of TLC and support, and all Maggie's centres have wonderful gardens. But we would also look at one-off projects under that Gardens and Health umbrella. So a charity can say, like, for instance, there's a charity that builds gardens for children's hospices, and we've given them a grant for a children's hospice garden in Norfolk, which we gave them last year. So there's that little group. We do give a lesser amount of money to the whole area of training and supporting people into gardening careers, because, you know, all our funds are raised at gardens, so it's always seems an appropriate thing to do. And in that area, projects come in and out. Finally, and this is our newest area of serious, you know, donation, is that we now fund a very considerable number of community garden projects all over the country. People apply between the end of October and the beginning of December. And to give you an idea, in 2023, we funded 86 projects to the tune of £260,000. Wow. Just summarising, so that in a way, there isn't a great deal of choice about where the money goes, because the lion's share of it goes to our long-term charities, who we will support year on year. That whole thing is reviewed once every 3 years by my trustees. They review the whole donations policy. But to be honest, one of the six would have to do something very wrong to be dropped.
Okay.
More likely it is that the actual amounts that go to each one might be streamlined in one way or another, or they might decide to give a bit more to community gardens, which is what they did 2 years ago, etc. So sometimes it's quite difficult, because, you know, I get regular approaches, and we get approaches from wonderful charities. But like most grant-making organisations, we can't support everybody. And what we have found over the years, particularly during this period of the last 10 years or so, when we've actively wanted to build up much more active partnerships with our beneficiaries, rather than it being a sort of arm's-length thing that we just give them money, you know, we have very active partnerships, and they are much easier to build and sustain if you're supporting a charity on a long-term basis. You know, if we had charities coming in and out all the time, you'd never really build a meaningful partnership with them, if that makes sense.
George Plumtree, the CEO of the National Garden Scheme. And we do have one more slot in the NGS little mini-series. George will be with us talking about them getting ready for Chelsea. That coming soon on the Happy Garden podcast. Yes. And also Stan and Vicky from Craig House Cacti. They're currently getting ready for Chelsea as well. So we must do sort of a Chelsea run-up special, Darren.
Talking about shows.
Yes.
Rudge the Rudge Judge returns.
Ah, have you been confirmed? Have you been booked?
I have, yes. I have been booked. Now, they want me to go down to the spring show, BBC Gardeners World Live spring show in Bewley, Molly, on the 2nd of May. I am considering my options there.
Considering your options. What will you be, the judge of the show gardens or a talker or speaker, should I say?
They just want me to go and judge.
Oh.
Okay.
Do they have show gardens there?
Yeah, they have. Well, that's what I'll be going to judge.
Right.
They've asked me if I would want to be. It's a smaller show than the NEC show.
Well, this is new. Is this new this year, the extra shows?
It's either its second or third. The spring show, I think, is its second year. But they've added an autumn show, which was the first year last year. Mm. It's going to be its second year. There are only going to be five judges, so they've asked me to consider.
Considering your options, I like it.
Of course I'm going to go.
Of course you're going to go. When's that, 2nd of May?
2nd
of May. Where's Bewley?
Bewley is right the way down by Portsmouth. It's just off the New Forest.
Mm.
Southampton way, I think. Right. Somewhere down there.
So much to look forward to. Now, Darren, another little bit of audio that you sent me in the week was this.
Here we are at the Bilston Voluntary Garden, and today we're making bird boxes, mainly for tits and thrushes, but as you can hear, our volunteers are a hive of activity, and we've cut the initial timbers, and now we're drilling holes for the birds to actually wander through, okay? And that's what Elizabeth has just achieved. She's just put a hole in the front of a bird box. Well done, Elizabeth.
Well done.
There's a little bit of a snag.
Are you stuck? That's all right. We can get you out of that snag. No problem at all.
No way to loose that.
Take it out.
Oh, OK. She might have broken the drill bit. Never mind. That's what learning is all about, isn't it, guys?
Oh, bless Elizabeth. She broke the drill bit, but having a go is what it's all about. Tell us about your week, Darren.
Oh, it's been fabulous. Obviously, we've got our volunteer garden in Bilston, Wolverhampton. And this week, as it said on the little bit of audio there, we're making bird boxes for tits and thrushes. And it's just some recycled timber. Cost next to nothing, folks, apart from a little bit of time, and they painted them up. And I put something on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I saw those pictures.
For this as well. And there's just some of our volunteers that are just really enjoying themselves, just making bird boxes, because it's going to be nesting season very, very soon. Early March, early to mid-March is the main nesting season, from March to August. So if you're pruning anything, folks, especially your hedges and things like that, we will be warning you, won't we, Molly, just to be aware that there might be nesting birds, because it's against the law for you to actually prune a hedge in particular where there's nesting birds, because you're disturbing them, you're disturbing nature, and it's totally and utterly unfair just because you want to have a tidy up of your hedges. Do it now. Give them a clip back now and they'll be nice and tidy for you early spring. But yeah, I mean, we've had a wonderful time. Next week we're going to put them up. And we're developing a wildlife area at the Gardeners as well, Molly. So we're going to build habitat hotels, bug hotels. We're going to put lacewing and ladybird hibernation sites in there and do all sorts of wonderful things like that. They're just really enjoying themselves, just being happy. And Elizabeth actually is one of our mentors. She's one of the people that were on our last course and has come back to help new volunteers with their gardening skills.
Love that.
It's great. It's great fun. And you can hear them there in the background dealing with power tools. Some of them have never ever used a power drill or a jigsaw or anything like that. And they're just getting the first chance in their life to actually use a power tool and just to become confident with
it. I was about to say that will really boost confidence, won't it? And, you know, enhancing skills that you can have a go and you can do it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they're not afraid with us because they can make the mistakes. It's not a problem.
We just heard you there. It's really sweet. So I think Elizabeth had said, oh, I think there's been a snag because the drill bit had broken. And you said, oh, don't worry, you know, we can get through any snag.
Yeah,
really encouraging.
We can work through it. We work through it. Nobody's going to get into trouble if they break anything. You know, it's not about that. It's about building your confidence and having fun at the end of the day. You learn a lesson by breaking a drill bit, don't you?
Well, do you ever take Mrs. Darren's two-speed hammer drill down to the community garden?
No, not allowed to.
Okay.
She keeps that. She guards with that. She sleeps with it, Molly.
Is she back yet from being cute? Is she under the sink? Have you heard her return? Or
she under the sink?
I just have this vision of, like, you know, the bull cock or whatever it is gone, and there's water all over the Rudge kitchen, and you're just upstairs on the bed having a laugh. Mrs. Rudge is soaking downstairs.
She loves
the water
it,
spraying
you.
Everywhere. She loves it.
You see, if there's water leaking, she's got a saucepan to help her clean
you've
it
got
up.
A whole set of with lids. Don't forget there was matching lids that came on Valentine's Day as well. Oh, Darren. Now, Dazzler Punch, shall we do your jokes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, now. You clapping. Darren even WhatsApped me in the week to say how proud you are. Five, is it?
Five.
And they're better than a potato chitting itself.
Well, I think they're on a par.
Okay. Let's go.
Now in the happy garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
All right, then. Come on, then. You've built this up for a good 4 days for me. Let's judge.
Molly.
Judge, yep.
Someone keeps sending me flowers with their heads cut off.
That'll be Mrs. Darren. And yeah, go on.
I think I'm being stalked.
Oh, good. That is good.
Number two. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
The other day, trying to lose weight, I was told I would have to go on a walnut-only diet, Molly.
Odd.
That's just nuts, isn't it?
Good. Two. Good.
A tortoise was walking down a garden path and was mugged by a slug and a snail.
Mm-hmm.
When the police asked him what happened, he said, I don't know, it all happened so quickly.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
Molly.
Yeah.
Something I've never, ever told you is when I sunbathe in the garden, you can see my all-over tattoos.
Okay.
When people are stressed, I let them colour my tattoos in. You see, some people just need a shoulder to cry on.
Oh, good! That's good, Darren.
And finally...
Yes?
I broke up with my girlfriend last year at a garden barbecue because she couldn't stop counting, Molly. I always wonder what she's up to now.
Oh, God, I see it! Oh, Darren, good!
Chitting, no chitting...
You're going to, Darren, how you're going to top the potato chit himself joke is beyond me. I don't know. But I did enjoy that very, very much.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I love it.
Some people need a shoulder to cry on.
That's good. Was that gardening related? Hang on a second. Was
because
it?
I said I was sunbathing.
Oh,
in the garden.
Yeah. It was tenuous, but you did. You covered yourself there. Right, that's sheet three. That's sheet four.
Wow.
One sheet. One sheet. Do you think Juan Sheet will be doing any of the gardening shows this year?
I don't know.
I'd like to meet.
Still does it.
Do you remember about 2-3 years ago maybe 2 years ago at Gardeners World Live, we got, I don't know why we got pulled into dancing with the, who were we dancing with?
Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, of course, yes, it was a Strictly Come Dancing dance floor.
Yeah.
For some reason, You had to you went with a beautiful lady, I can't remember her name, and I had to go with someone who looked like Wan Sheet, who got his shirt unbuttoned to his belly button, didn't know where to look, and you and I were span round the dance floor.
We were, yeah.
To a huge crowd.
Yeah.
It's really embarrassing.
It was.
We were good though, I thought.
Because I've got two left feet.
We got around.
I can't. I haven't got a rhythmic bone in my body.
Oh, I didn't like to say.
But you know that.
But you gave it a go.
Well, I did. I did give it a go. I did some dad dancing.
It was good, though. I enjoyed that.
So that woman walked away from me.
She did. She said, I don't think the music had even ended. And she's like, yeah, thank you.
I've had enough of him.
Good bike.
She got a fake tan and everything.
Oh, what a laugh. I love Gardener's World Live. Looking forward to it. Well, that's us nearly done. We've just got some jobs for the week ahead to get through. We'll say
what?
Adieu. Yes.
What?
A sheet four done.
Sheet four?
Mm.
Not one sheet?
No, four sheets.
Four sheets.
To the wind. Or is it? No, it's three sheets to the wind, isn't it?
Three sheets to the wind, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why is it three sheets to the wind?
Can't you Google it?
Yeah, I've literally got my iPad in my hand. Oh, hang on, let me just close Wan Sheet because he's there's a big picture of Wan Sheet. Three
Wan Sheet.
Sheets
to the wind
origin. Wind. The informal expression two brackets or three sheets to the wind. I suppose you could be either. Oh, yeah. Means being drunk. The origin is nautical. In sailing, the sheet is a rope that controls the trim of a sail. So the sheet that is in the wind has to be loose from its mooring and flapping in the wind like a flag. It's about as explanatory as... What? No, I do. Something nautical. They always are.
So,
yes?
Presumably, there will be three sheets then blowing around in the wind. If you're three sheets to the wind.
I suppose. I don't really get it, Darren. Just nod and carry on.
Neither do I.
No.
Yeah. No.
So
we'll present you. Yeah, nobody's listening
anyway.
No one's
anyway. Fine. Well, they are. They are in shove a sock in it. What's...
Shove a sock in it.
Well, I can't even remember where shove a sock in it was. Was that Amsterdam?
Amsterdam, yeah, the Netherlands.
Shove a sock in it. Right, let's... anyway, look, stop this tomfoolery. Let's... Where's your jobs gone?
Now we're in Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
Go.
Molly's favourite job?
Oh,
mowing
no.
the lawn. Give that lawn a mow, folks, and it avoids you having that hard toil when it starts to actively grow. So give it a smarten up now, and it'll be nice and tidy in March when it starts to actively grow, and you won't have to cut it back like a jungle. You know, you normally leave it like a jungle, and then it's really hard work, isn't it? Apply moss killer if you need to on heavy, if there's heavy moss growth, and you can start to think about feeding as well. So a good spring feed is what you want. This will green your lawns through. Now, for your fruit, vegetables and herbs, buds are already starting to swell on fruit trees and bushes. So a little bit of fertiliser around the base. High potash fertiliser is what you actually need. Pruning of apple and pear trees and blackcurrant bushes should be completed as soon as possible, folks. And plant garlic and shallot sets without delay if the ground is dry enough to cultivate. And sow vegetables such as early peas and things like broad beans, onions and parsnips.
Is that your shallot?
That's it.
Is that...
I'm done.
Shallot.
That's my shallot.
That's shallot. I was sniggering in that because I just had a quick look at who was listening in the Netherlands, and it's not shove a sock in it. It's put a shock in it.
Put a shock in it.
Goodness sakes. Oh, Darren. Now, next week on the Happy Garden podcast, we will be joined by Caroline Quentin off of, Men Behaving Badly?
Yeah, I think so,
that.
Yeah.
I used to love that.
Yeah.
She is such a keen gardener. We're having a chat about her new book, her new gardening book, Drawn to the Garden. And she's actually done the illustrations as well. It's a beautiful book, which is just about to be released. So she's on the podcast next week. So that is us about done, our dazzler pants for another podcast. And, well, I'm going to go and get the washing in, make the beds. We'll sleep well tonight. it's so exciting, our end. What are you going to do?
Well, first of all, I love a fresh bed.
Oh, I know. It does make you sleep better, doesn't it?
Clean sheets. Mm. Oh.
All right, Darren.
But you do, don't you? You get in and you roll around. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Inhale the Lenore.
As to what I'm... Well, I'm looking forward to my tea.
What are you having?
Fish and chips.
Oh, fish and chips. Are you going down the chippy?
No, we're doing the healthy option. So it's going to be made in the air fryer.
Nice.
Which you got us on to.
Yeah.
I went and bought a really expensive air fryer, actually. And we can do Sunday dinner in our air fryer.
Is it a Ninja?
Nope.
Oh, what you got?
I could not tell you what the make is.
Oh, really? really, Darren? Could you not?
It's got a Russian name.
Kelsabrees.
That's what I'm looking forward to this afternoon.
Well, enjoy, Darren. And thank you for the podcast today. And look forward to doing it all again next week.
A pleasure as always. Oh. And you know what, Molly?
Go on.
Can put the phone down first.
Oh, okay.
She has done as well.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.